It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship. It's the Worship and Wellness Broadcast of Torso Ministry. We welcome on the call. We welcome those on Facebook. And at this time, we will have our opening prayer by my wife, Undreamed Of, Sister Maria.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together for worship. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night. And now, Lord, we ask that your Spirit will come and teach us this morning. Give us the things we need to know so we can have grace and wisdom to continue to grow in your word. We ask that you would anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your Spirit. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for joining us on Facebook. God bless you all. This is Pastor Sheldon Flemings with Torso Ministry, and you can reach us at torsoe torso.org, torso.org. It's like the torso of your body with an E on the end. Also, we have a website that hosts these or houses the archives of this broadcast, although they're on Facebook as well, and that's torwm.org. And I'm finishing a book entitled The Biblical Booster, so you'll be able to get information on biblicalbooster.org. God bless you. It's time to talk about moral justice. That's our topic this morning for worship. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we kneel before your throne, we ask that the Spirit of God will come and teach us this morning. We know that the world is perverted in a lot of the ways that they do things, and it's just good to see the principles of true justice and mercy in the Bible. In Jesus' name, bless us. Amen. You know, a lot of people misunderstand things in the Old Testament, and so we're going to break it down so we understand the principles. Remember, we learned that this was a group of people fresh out of slavery, packed together in a group of over a million, traveling through a desert. The way that they got food was God dropped the plant-based diet down from heaven. And I'd like to say good morning to my sister there on Facebook. And so here they are packed together. God had to have some order and rules so that they could be so they could have peace, so they could learn who he really was, okay? So we're reading Exodus 22, and we're just going to see the true justice of God, understanding who he's dealing with and what he's dealing with here with these people fresh out of slavery. The Bible says, if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. My brothers and sisters, in God's plan, crime was prevented because you had to go through so much if you committed a crime, okay? So the bottom line is that that's a biblical principle. To have some steep penalties for crimes is biblical because you're causing so much heartache and pain and, burdens on people because of the mental anguish, because their goods have been stolen. It says, if a thief be found breaking up, be smitten that he died, there shall no blood be shed for him. Now, brothers and sisters, I will tell you that in the United States of America, if somebody's breaking in your house and you shoot them, if they fell out of the window backwards, now they could have had a gun, they could have had a knife, but the bottom line, they're breaking in your house, and you shoot them, if they fall out of the window, you're in trouble in most states, okay? If you go different state by state. So a lot of the gun enthusiasts tell you, wait till they get in the window and then make sure only one story is told. So the bottom line is, unfortunately, if they follow the Bible, they wouldn't have to go through that little political harangue. You shouldn't be breaking in people's houses. That's their personal space. And if you got killed after breaking in, the Bible said no blood should be shed for you if you broke in their house. The Bible says in verse 3, if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. Now, what it's saying is that this is not bloodshed as a result to, in other words, there's no repercussions for the owner. This is the one who is alive. He's the one. Even though it says blood shall be shed, it's basically saying there's restitution to be made. He should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. So that phrase, blood shall be shed for him, is just to simply say that doesn't mean the owner who was protecting his property should die. It just means that there should be restitution made. All right, if the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. So if he got it, stole it, pulled it, he's got to give two back if it's found in his possession. If a man shall cause a field or vineyard to be eaten, and shall put in his beast, and shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field, and of the best of his own vineyard shall he make restitution. So if you allowed your beast to, oh man, I want my beast to get nice and fat, so I'm going to let him eat at the other man's house. And it's been found, then that man's beast gets to eat at the best of your vineyard. Notice what it says. If fire break out and catch in thorns, so that stacks of corn or standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindleth the fire shall surely make restitution. Okay? So we have to be careful. The Bible teaches that we should be careful with what we do, because what we do might affect somebody else. We live in the country. We're allowed to have a little fire out in the yard, and sometimes we do that. If there's some things that we just, you know, can burn or whatever, we'll just do that. You can do that kind of thing in the country. But brothers and sisters, I don't choose the hot day when there's been no rain for weeks and weeks and weeks, and everything is easily combustible. I don't start a fire on days like that, because it could affect my neighbors. It could affect other things around me. We've got to be careful. The Bible teaches carefulness and even your responsibility to look out for your neighbor. Verse 7, if a man, this is in Exodus 22, if a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. Okay, so there you have it. That's easy to understand. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he hath put his hand unto his neighbor's goods. So you let somebody borrow your things and it gets stolen. There was a process to make sure that it wasn't actually taken by that neighbor. Now, my brothers and sisters, we have to understand, you got to understand, in that time, although it hadn't been introduced yet, there was a Urim and a Thummim. They could take those cases to God through Moses. So you have to understand, if it was too tough for the judges to figure out, they could pass it on to higher judges who could pass it on, and Moses could go talk to God and say, Lord, who did this? You know? And you see things like Achan and how they lost the battle after Jericho, and Joshua just prayed and said, Lord, what? And God revealed that it was Achan, and the things were in his tent. So you have to understand that, be sure, the Bible says in the book of Numbers, your sins will find you out. Might not be right away, but your sins will find you out. It's not a good thing to do bad things to people. It will be found eventually, because God sees it. And you have to understand, in the end, if you are lost, your sins are plastered. They're in a record book, so it's going to be found out, whether it's before Jesus comes or after, but it will be found out, and you reap what you sow. So if you do good to people, good will come back. Doesn't mean that there isn't some evil that will come, but good will also come back to you. All right, friends, for all manner of trespass, I think we read, if the thief be not found in the man. Yes, okay, for verse 9, for all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox, for ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of lost thing, which another challengeth to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. And so if this is my ox. And they could bring that thing before the judges. And God would bless those wise judges to be able to know. And the one who had taken it, he would pay double. If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass or an ox or a sheep or any beast to keep, and it die or be hurt or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he hath not put his hand unto his neighbor's good. And the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. We say in this life, things happen. And you know, somebody, you let somebody borrow your ox, stuff happens. I mean, you know, the ox could get lost, and it was no fault of the owner that it got out at night, you know, and all that. But he had to have an oath between them and God. He had not done evil. And so, you know, when you have to bring in an oath and you put God in that oath, brothers and sisters, if you're lying, God's going to deal with you. Verse 12, and if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. So, you know, I don't know. Again, that's what God said. So if it be stolen from him, maybe it should not be stolen. Maybe they should have had better security. God is fair. We're seeing the fairness of God, even though we may not understand all the different circumstances. If it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for witness, for he shall not make good that which was torn. Okay? Meaning that if it got into a fight with another animal and so on and so forth, and it got torn, just bring the body part to show that it was torn. And if a man borrow aught of his neighbor and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. So if I borrow something from you and it get damaged, I'm to make restitution if you weren't with me. Okay? I borrowed it from you. You weren't with me. I'm to make restitution. But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good. If it be an hire thing, it came for his hire. So the bottom line is, hey, I want to borrow your ox. I'll give you $5 for it. Let's work this field, but I need your ox too. And something happens to your ox, but you're there. You're there to protect your ox. You're there to say, yes, this can happen. You're there to give permission. That's fairness. There would be no restitution in such case because I paid you to let me use your ox. And if a man entice a maid, let's get serious here now. If a man entice a maid that is betrothed, and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. So the bottom line is, if he's worth sleeping with, he's worth marrying, but that's not a wise thing. So ladies, don't sleep around with him, okay? That's the point. But if that particular act was designed to be and ordained to be only done through holy matrimony. So it didn't say if you forced her. It says if you enticed her. That means she yielded. She was a party to it, then you who did that, that's your wife. And the bottom line, brothers and sisters, if she'll sleep with you, she's not a good wife. So you probably need to understand that it's not a good thing. And they would learn from these lessons, okay, these things. So again, we've all made mistakes. We've all done things we ought not do. I'm just simply saying, brothers and sisters, we need to marry people who have moral courage to do the right thing. When we engage in things that the Bible says we ought not, it never brings happiness. Okay, so that's all God is saying. And so He's saying, listen, he's making the man responsible. You enticed her, you must marry her. Okay, you enticed her, you just can't play around. You got to marry. That means that marriage requires that he take care of her, and so on and so forth. So that was that. If her father utterly refused to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. Okay? Now, Facebook had a little interruption there. Now, many people don't understand this. I believe the one who pays is the one who enticed. It says if her father utterly refused to give her unto him. In other words, he's a scoundrel. I'm not going to give you to this man because I know who he is. Okay? He shall pay according to the dowry of virgins. I believe the one who paid is the one who took her virginity, okay? That's what I believe from this. Some people might think it's the father that pays, but no, the father's not going to have to pay a man who tried to get the man's wife, who enticed the father's daughter to sin. That doesn't make the father, and the father's just saying, your life will be a misery. I know who this guy is. So these are wisdom principles, brothers and sisters. This is fair. Look at this one, verse 18. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. My brothers and sisters, witchcraft is very, very serious, and it's very, very dangerous. You are basically selling your soul to the devil. And so those who started to practice witchcraft, it was strictly forbidden, and God knew the effect it would have on society. So this was the punishment for it. And you see witchcraft done. That's what Baal worship and all these other things, and it often had with it sexual immorality. It destroyed nations, and so God knew that. So, but you don't have to be a witch. You can serve God if you choose to rebel and you want to have witchcraft. They did it a lot of times for money because people would come and pay them to tell the future and stuff. So it was a financial gain that was put there. So A witch didn't live. Now, today's society, we have all kind of legal witches, Wiccan, they're supposed to be good witches, friends, all this stuff, witchcraft, it's all in the Disney movies, all these even regular movies where, especially around Christmas and, you know, different things happen where you see in the movie people who are in love with somebody who's dead and that person comes back. All that stuff, friends, it brings the devil in your house. So stop all this witchcraft. Let me tell you how you know what witchcraft is. Witchcraft was brought in by Satan in the garden. He said, you shall not surely die. So witchcraft teaches, the occult teaches, that when you're dead, you're not really dead. Therefore, you can communicate with the dead. You can interact with the dead. You know, I know of a situation where a lady says that her husband comes every night, and she's elderly, and it's probably all a figment of her imagination. But he comes every night and sleeps with her and all of that kind of foolishness, brothers and sisters. That's a demon that comes to visit her every night, okay? It is the spirit of devils working miracles, the Bible says in Revelation 16:14. And so we need to be clear and stay clear of all that, because when you get involved in spiritualism, you're setting yourself up to be deceived, because the devil is going to use spiritualism in the last days. He's going to impersonate Christ. He's going to do other things. That's all spiritualism, brothers and sisters. It's fake. It's magic. All that stuff, magic and all this stuff, tarot cards, all that spiritualism, friends. You don't get involved. But you can go back to Genesis chapter 3, thou shalt not surely die. And then also, and so Christians are involved in spiritualism when they teach that when you die, you go straight to heaven or you go straight to hell. That was brought in. That's not taught in the Bible. That was brought into Christianity by the Roman Catholic Church. They are a church that combined paganism with Christianity, and the pagans were the spiritualists and worshiped the dead and all that kind of stuff and communicated with the dead. They brought them into Christianity, and they said, okay, we're just going to say, you just give us your money, and we're going to Christianize this teaching and say the dead go straight to heaven and the bad go straight to hell, and then you have to pay money to the church now to get them out of hell into purgatory, which is not even in the Bible, and then you pay more money to get them out of purgatory into heaven, and that's how the church got rich and built St. Peter's Basilica and other big edifices that they own today, okay? Spiritualism, it brings money into the church, my friends, and so they would actually sell indulgences. That's the story of Martin Luther. He gave 95 theses nailed to the church in Wittenberg to protest indulgences. What was an indulgence? Indulgence was a paper that you could buy, and anything your dead relatives indulged in, it was already forgiven. And then you can also buy an indulgence paper that allowed you to sin, and you got a free pass to heaven. There was an indulgence to rape a woman. There was and that's true. There was an indulgence to beat up a man. There was and the greater the crime, the more you had to pay. So if you wanted to rape a woman, you had to pay a lot of money, and then you would, you know, the church got rich. You got to rape that woman, and you got a free pass into heaven. You could rape that woman and hold up that pass and say, I'm going to heaven. I paid for this. You see how foolish and evil that kind of system was, friends. That's all about witchcraft. That's what witchcraft does, because, you know, the indulgence could also bring your relatives into heaven that are dead, and so on and so forth. It also said, you will be as gods, knowing good and evil, is what the serpent told Eve. So it's supernatural power that doesn't come from God. That's spiritualism. So I don't get involved in magic and those types of things, supposedly supernatural events and powers, and the mankind showing himself as having supernatural powers. So psychics, tarot card readers that tell you the future, all this kind of stuff. Don't play with Ouija boards. It brings demons into your house, my friends. Don't watch all these movies and stuff where it talks about spiritualism and ghosts and the dead and so on and so forth. It brings demons into your house, okay? Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. This shows you how serious it is with God. Whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. Friends, there's all kinds of pornography today, all kinds of foolishness today, sexual perversion. Homosexuality is a sexual perversion. Lying with an animal is a sexual perversion. Okay, there's many types of sexual perversions, and I know that's not popular to say in this day and time, brothers and sisters, but I have to tell you the truth because I love you. We're not angry with anybody. We don't dislike anybody. The bottom line is sexual intercourse was for a man with a woman when they were married. and it binds them and blinds them. It binds them together in love, but it blinds them to each other's changes over time, because, you know, you're going to get old and feeble and all that. But because you were emotionally attached, he's still the most handsome man, even with all the wrinkles, and she's the most handsome woman, even though her voice is cracking and her hair is graying and so on and so forth. Love is there, and it is a way that enhances love and brings two people together in holy matrimony, friends, not just to enjoy one another's body and then you have no commitment. That's the world's way, friends. And so God has teaching us here that he knew that there would be what they call bestiality, and it's sin. You should not do it. If you do it, you would be put to death, okay? Because it's really like an amalgamation. You're putting your seed into a woman, or in this day, women receive from animals. You know, it's a great perversion. He that sacrifices unto any god save unto the Lord only, he shall utterly be destroyed. Friends, you can't serve other gods. That would demoralize society. It was a serious offense. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger. I love this. Thou, and see, a lot of people, again, we talked to you the other day about people think the Bible supports slavery. Listen to this. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Friends, the Bible doesn't support slavery as we understood it to be, as it was in America and in other areas of the world. That's not it. So when you hear about the Bible talking about if you have a servant, this and that, that was a contractual arrangement. And after 7 years, we read, they get to go free. And they had to be compensated. It wasn't just work, 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 and no pay. It's just that they had to be indebted to you to work for you. All right? You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. Oh, brothers and sisters, we got to care for those who are widows. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. Those who are less fortunate, who have a loss, we are not to afflict them or do any harm to them. We are to do what we can to help them. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. So the Bible teaches that if I lend money to somebody who is poor, I cannot charge interest. Some people believe that if you lend money to anybody, you can't charge interest if you're a Christian. That's not what it says. It says if you lend money to a poor person, you should not charge interest to that person. Look at verse 26. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by that the sun goeth down, for it that is his covering only. It is his raiment for his skin, wherein shall he sleep, and shall come to pass when he crieth unto me that I will hear, for I am gracious. So you say somebody that needs some money, they come to you and they say, listen, I'm going to work. I need to borrow some money from you. Okay, if you say to him, okay, I'm taking your coat, you got to give him that coat back, whether he gives you that money back, because that's his only warmth at night. God had a plan, friend. The rich could not take advantage of the poor in God's plan. We have it different today, but there wouldn't be any homeless people in the system of God. And you didn't even have a social security welfare system. It was built in. We haven't even gotten to it yet. It's not even in today's chapter. But in the Bible, there was no need for an IRS, brothers and sisters. The people of God had to pay a tenth for the poor. It was an obligation. So they paid a tenth, which is tithe, to keep the spirituality high in the church, that paid for the ministry to be ministered to. And therefore, spirituality was high in the church, and there was funding for it. They paid an offering that helped to keep the light bills going and all these types of things. And they also paid a tenth. And so there was money for the poor. There was no destitute people. They might not have had much, but they had basic needs taken care of. And you could take that money and maybe do something and give them a little job or whatever the case might be. And there was funding for it. And every third year, again, this is later on in Deuteronomy where it talks about this, but every, or in another, I'm not sure where it is. I think it's Deuteronomy. But anyway, in another, and what you could do every third year, you kept it at home. So even if you were poor, you had a fund to help other poor people, and you had a fund to help them, bring them to your house to do that, friends. And so if we get back to the Bible way of doing things, now I realize the IRS takes 25% of our money, and that makes it hard. But here's what a lot of people don't teach. That's a wrong teaching. God does not require you to pay tithe on your gross. He requires you to pay tithe on your net. Your gross is out of your hand. If the IRS takes 25% of our income, then that's not what we bring home. It's just on a piece of paper. Now, brothers and sisters, here's what you need to understand. I know people who pay to double tithe on their gross. And if you pay a double tithe on your gross, that's the same thing. It's about the same as paying tithe and second tithe and offering on your net. It comes out about the same. So my brothers and sisters, but I'm here to tell you, sometimes preachers who want more money in the church, they will tell you, you can't beat God giving, so pay tithe on your growth. That's not in the Bible. In the Bible, you pay tithe on your increase. If it's not yours, you can't have power over it. It didn't come to you. That's not your increase. That was taken by the government in taxes. Your increase is what you physically have control over, okay, after you meet those tax obligations, all right? So I just want to make sure that we're teaching it right, my friends. God wants us. And so God's plan was that tithe be paid to those who are doing ministry, teaching the truth, ministering to people, not just those who have a position or not just an organization that's not even doing with the money what God said. Some organizations, brothers and sisters, will admit in their on their website, I'm not going to name the name of a Sabbath-keeping church, but on its website it clearly says that after they pay obligations and so on and so forth, they put the money in investment. That's holy money. It's not supposed to be invested. Things can get lost in investments, brothers and sisters, and then people cry because they say they don't have enough money to pay the pastor. Well, maybe you're not being blessed by God, but I will tell you, these are Fortune 500 companies. They can surely afford to pay a lot of money into Disney and some other things that are going on and to make movies about homosexuality. They pay for that kind of stuff. They pay and endorse that kind of stuff with money, but then they claim they don't have money to pay the pastors. You are to use your tithe for ministry where truth is being taught and the work of God is being done, friends. That is what is worthy of tithe, and that kept spirituality high in the church so that the moral fabric of the church was good and the church members grew and prospered because they learned the truths and they had men and women, not that women were pastors, but they were still Levites, were female as well. There was a whole tribe, and they could be given tasks to counsel and minister in various ways. And so the morality of the church remained high, my friend. And then there was offerings so that the church lights and things like that stayed on. And then people took a tenth and gave it to the poor. Now, what we do at this ministry is we help people. We do what we can to help people who are less fortunate. Sometimes they need help, free counsel, free treatment, free herbs, things of this nature. Whatever in your sphere of influence you can do to help the poor, we should try to do, my friend. God blesses us when we help the poor. Thou shalt, it goes on to say, thou shalt not revile the God. Now, that is, when you look it up in the original, it actually says, thou shalt not revile God. Okay, that's probably a misinterpretation. Okay, nor curse the ruler of thy people. So, friends, again, God teaches us that we are to be respectful of authority. Although we must tell the truth and when God tells us, we maintain our rights. But the thing is that we should not be disrespectful to authority. Verse 29, thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruit and of thy liquors, the firstborn of thy sons, that thou shalt thou give unto me. Friends, God had this firstborn principle that the firstborn sons were dedicated to the Lord. the first fruits was dedicated to the Lord. That doesn't mean you lost your son. It was just dedicated to the Lord. Likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam. On the eighth day thou shalt give it to me. Now, some things might have been part of the sacrifice, but that doesn't suggest that you sacrificed your children. But they were dedicated to the Lord. That's why you see in the Bible the firstborn had a birthright, special birthright, because they were the priest of the home. This was in a patriarchal system. And so the firstborn became the priest of the family. And as the generations would go on, the firstborn was kind of like a spiritual leader of the family. And he shall be holy unto me. Neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beast in the field. Ye shall cast it to the dogs. So, friends, they allowed meat eating. God allowed it. It's still allowed. It's just not best for you. And it was clean meat, friends. But I'm telling you, I highly recommend a plant-based diet. We're going to be talking about that a little bit in our wellness segment, which we're talking about health justice. Okay, we talked about moral justice, and we'll talk about health justice after our intermission. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for these wonderful truths and to see the wisdom of the Bible and to see the wisdom that you have and your perfect will and plan and how beautiful it is. Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit be with us today. On this day, I believe it is, excuse me, I need to check the date here, January 4th. Thank you, Jesus. January 4th, and we pray that this day we will have our lives fully dedicated to you and that the things that we say, do, touch, eat, and get involved with will be pleasing in the sight of God. In addition to this worship, may the people of God have their own personal private time with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, God bless you today. It's now time for our intermission. We do so with a torso song. And I will tell you that in the near future, you're going to hear a better version of that song. When I originally sung it, I was a little tired of voice, but we had to get it out. But we redid it. And by the way, I'll be posting a video tomorrow. So somebody remind me. I'll be posting a video tomorrow, a link to a video tomorrow on Facebook. But if you go to YouTube and try to find a channel called Biblical Booster channel. There's a video in that channel, and it's our new music video. So check it out, my friends. Go check out our music video. It actually plays this song, but it has some surprises for you. All right, our song is now entitled, the song is entitled Escape. The torso will be back in 8 minutes to talk about health justice on the Worship and Wellness broadcast.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might see Abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattle tale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. must come and see.
Amen. We're talking about health justice today. We talked about moral justice for worship. Now it's wellness time. What we're trying to say basically is that there is a cause-effect relationship based on our habits and our diseases. The Bible says in Proverbs 26:2, the curse causeless shall not come. So every disease has a cause. And then in Job 29:16, it says, the cause which I knew not, I searched out. So what we must understand, there is another principle in the Bible. I'm going to try to find it. It's in the book of Ecclesiastes. Let me see if I can find that one for you really quickly, because I think it even gives us even better, a better representation of the principle here. Yes, in Ecclesiastes 8:11, it says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. So it didn't say it's not going to be executed. It just means it's not executed speedily. So if you eat foods, friends, that bring a lot of acid into your body, like the flesh of dead animals, for example, that acid might not cause a problem right away. But I'm telling you, that acid will cause a problem, and it will cause arthritis. It will lead to cancer. It will lead to diabetes. It will lead to some of these diseases that come as the result of an acid diet. And so there is justice that is coming when we don't follow the original plan that God gave us in the Bible. I'm not trying to say you're going to live forever if you follow God's plan, but I am saying you don't need to die before your time, Ecclesiastes 7, verse 17. And so we need to, if you don't drink water, my friend, you might not feel bad right away, but eventually those headaches will come, those pains will come, those menstrual cramps will come, other things that happen will come. And so justice will be served. The body will get justice because of the habits that we put on it. And so that's our message. Let's live free. What does live free stand for? The L is love God. The I is include temperance. The V is, and that's abstaining from everything harmful, alcohol, tobacco, stuff like that, and doing in moderation that which is good. So that's the I in live. The V is vital water. We need to drink plenty of water. Your weight divided by 2 in ounces. I weigh about 150 pounds. I should drink about 75 ounces of water a day between meals. And I won't get thirsty at mealtime, by the way. And then the E is eat healthy, plant-based diet, friends. We've just been taught wrong. We've been eating wrong our whole lives. And so as a result of that, you know, I'm in my 50s, and I have classmates that aren't even with us anymore. I have others that are very, very ill. And I'm here to tell you that I don't have perfect health. We have human bodies that are imperfect. But I can tell you I don't have the diseases of Egypt, which were cancer, arthritis, diabetes, and those kinds of things. You don't have to feel like, okay, I'm 40. I'm supposed to take medication. No, that's not correct. Just because you're 40, 50, 60, 70, you have to take medication. That's the, if you're sick, justice is being served. We are, for the most part, reaping what we sowed in our earlier years. So if we start even now sowing good seed, friends, it will bring good results. So we just want to encourage you. The free stands for, the F in free stands for fresh air, the R for rest, the E for exercise, and the second E is enjoying sunlight. And we've now recently discovered that while vitamin D is important, the ultraviolet rays of the sun do a lot that we didn't realize that they did. And so a lot of the benefits that a lot of people have been attributing to vitamin D is actually the ultraviolet rays of the sun and the benefits that that has. So God is good, friends. Again, if you want to connect with us, just go to our website, torso.org. You can also get on our WhatsApp list, and we send out announcements there. We are on every morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, and then we weekends we have church service at 12 p.m. I hope you join us as we teach God's word. And if we could be of any help to you, it doesn't cost you anything to call us, text us, ask a question, reach out to us on Facebook, whatever, so we might help you better your health and better your walk with God. All right, friends, phone lines are open. If anybody has any comment or question, just go ahead and type it. On Facebook, we have a good morning from our dear sister, Miata, there. We have Roshanda saying good morning and an encouragement to keep teaching the relevance for this time. And we've got other folks on, as far as a roll call, we've got Missouri. I believe the other person is in Missouri. I'm not sure. Maybe you can let me know. I know I met you in Missouri. And I don't know where my brother is from, Brother William. And then we have the great state of Louisiana represented there. And on the call, we have representation from Ohio, from Alabama, from Maryland, from Delaware, from Ohio again, from South Carolina, from Georgia. Is there anyone that likes to share anything this morning before we wrap it up today on this January 4th? I hope you're having a wonderful new year with plans and commitment to get closer to God and be more in tune with his health principles, my friend. It will keep you from having to pay later. Amen. In a bad way. All right. It's time to close out. And we will at this time have our closing prayer by my wife I'm dreamed of, Sister Maria Bloom.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together and to have this worship. We pray now, Lord, that your spirit would be with us throughout this day, continue to abide with us. We ask that you will bless everyone on this line in a special way. We know that many are going into and have already entered into a new year, but probably even new uncertainty as we see the things evolving around the world and how evil and wickedness is continuing to abound. We thank you for your grace and mercy because it does abound even more. And Father, we ask and pray that you will help us to seek you daily, asking for guidance and direction, instruction, leading us, Lord, always to your path of righteousness. Help us in all the decisions that need to be made for our homes, for our families. Use us in a special way to be able to seek you for wisdom and not to rush to just make decisions and choices on our own, but to seek you in prayer, asking you, is this what I should be doing? Direct me, O Lord, as you would have it to be for your perfect will, plan, and purpose for my life. May we remember to take everything to you, for you tell us that we can do nothing without you. And may we remember that. We thank you, Lord, for giving us your Holy Spirit, which is our comforter, our teacher, our guide. And we just pray, Lord, that we can be healed with this Spirit, being able to help others, help to reap and bring in your harvest. Lord, we know time is short. May we do all we can to serve you faithfully and righteously. And we ask that you will give special healings of spiritual, mental, and physical to all in need, which is each of us, Lord. Just the right amount of portions that we need so that we can be co-laborers with you. We thank you for hearing our prayer this morning. And we ask that you will bless it and see it to be done in accordance with your will. For it is in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, friends. We're going to sign out at this time with our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.